Breed and Tegan have made it through the winter in the marshes, somewhat reluctantly, and arrived back at the city with the rest of the mercenaries. And Ynir, who you mentioned earlier, his partner was killed in a skirmish on the way back to the city, so he's recently widowed. And they're just settling into their barracks and sorting themselves out generally, having literally just ridden in. So Ynir dispatched his duty regarding sleeping quarters swiftly. The mercenaries dropped their packs onto their allotted beds and began searching for clean clothing and money belts, disappearing in ones and twos to the bathhouse. Ynir turned uncertainly to Breed. You need new clothes, and you'd better have armour, whatever Maeve thinks. Breed tilted her head in inquiry. Ynir eyed her, measuring. Breed stood taller under his regard, uneasy with it. Abruptly, he turned and tore into a pack on his bed. Not his pack, Breed winced. Balin's pack. Ynir held up a sleeveless jerkin. With a belt? He asked. Breed reached out a reluctant hand. The wool was good quality, but the jerkin, meant to reach to mid-thigh, came to her knees. Breed caught Ynir's glance, an awkward moment between pain and laughter. Laughter won. Ynir rubbed tears out of his eyes and took the jerkin back. We'll barter these for something that will fit better. I don't want you to part with anything that matters to you on my account, Breed said nervously. Ynir shrugged. They're just clothes. Borrow some of mine for now. You can't even look after horses in those rags. Ynir flicked breeches and tunic at her and wandered away, giving her a semblance of privacy while she whipped one set of clothing off and a fresh set on. Ynir returned from his slow circuit of their quarters and eyed the transformation. He returned to his pack and came back with a sleeve band of green cloth. He held it out silently, unable to voice just how foreign Breed now looked dressed in his own clothes. Breed took the band and worked it up her arm to where it wouldn't slip. Don't take that off, Ynir said, his voice suddenly husky with doubt. It wouldn't be safe. He shook himself. So, now we'll do the grand tour. Pay attention. You need to know where things are, who's who. It's dangerous else. Breed clenched her hands into her belt. Not safe and dangerous, swimming about her mind, and her pulse beginning to skip in anxiety. Ynir was an excellent guide, keeping his explanations and cautions to a low murmur, his introductions clear and brief. To everyone they met, he said the same. This is Breed. She kept Tegan alive this winter. She's good with horses. When I find Ekan, we'll see if she's good enough. About everyone they met, he told Breed, name, associations, how long she could expect them to be about. Breed watched. She observed and wondered and doubted. Of each person she met, she asked herself, is this one, at least, too young to have been at the last gather? She couldn't ask. She was reasonably certain of Maeve, Caller, and Riordan. Unless they were let into battle as children, none of them could possibly have been there. But Kai and Ynir were certainly of an age to have been there with Tegan. And she couldn't ask Ynir about himself, so couldn't ask about anyone else. Who to trust? She walked restlessly around the yards, pretending an interest in the architecture, allowing Ynir to think of some easily impressed simpleton gulping in wonder. She developed a swift dislike for the arrogant stone towers about her. They stopped at a gate. Beyond it stretched manicured gardens and smaller, lower, but equally brutal stone buildings. What's that? Breed asked. We don't go there, unless the Queen does, Ynir said, turning his back on the ornate ironwork that bound the heavy boards of the gates together. He caught Breed's expression. We make them uneasy. But who would live there if... Well, they don't exactly live there. That's the guest hall. It's where the people come who want to influence the Queen, the ones that aren't army. Are there any? You'd be surprised. Landowners too old to fight, merchants with more money than sense, the occasional foreign envoy. Ynir moved away from the gate quickly, as though afraid of being overheard. They think that by coming here they can sway the Queen's decisions, and I suppose they do when she gives them a chance. It's my belief she hides from them as much as she can. Breed laughed, amused by the idea of the Queen hiding from anyone. Finally, the tour of the barracks brought them to the stables and to Ekan. Ynir's introduction changed subtly. This is Breed. She's a friend of Tegan's. Maeve thinks you can make use of her. Breed considered the man before her. He was much older than anyone else she'd yet met, his hair grey and thinning. He had a scar across one side of his face, the eyelid puckered out of shape, the eye beneath it clouded and blind. He looked up and down, and his eyebrows drew together. He nodded at Aenea. "I'll let you know." Aenea grinned and turned to go. Breed gazed after him, uneasy at being left alone with this stranger. Aiken flexed his fingers thoughtfully and turned his sideways gaze to inspect the woman before him. "There are no new horses in Maeve's string." "Tegan's given me Gyda."
"Given?"
"Given." Breed did not think Aiken would be patient with long explanations. Aiken nodded slowly. Gyda was not a horse he would have parted from. "What's Tegan doing about another?" "I'm to help choose." Aiken laughed at that. "I wish you joy." Breed coincided with Tegan as she returned from a long soak in the bathhouse. "Come on, we're due at the horse market." Tegan tried to dampen Breed's urgency. "Have you been introduced to the master of the Queen's horse yet?"
"Aiken, I have. He'll take me on as a stable hand, if I pick a good enough horse for you."
"I think he wanted to come too, so he could disapprove my choice."
"You've made a friend then?"
Breed grinned, not believing that Aiken could be so easily won, uneasy with the thought of another uncertain friendship. "Very well," Tegan continued, "but we don't step outside the gate unarmed."
"I'm the probationary stable hand?"
"You are at risk." Breed looked doubtfully at Tegan, then nodded and loped back to the barracks. She was back almost at once, strapping her double knives about her. Out in the street, her stride lengthened and Tegan had to make an effort to keep up. "Slow up, girl."
"Sorry."
"Glad to be out of the tower."
"Why?"
Breed halted abruptly. "There's nothing here I recognise, nothing I can trust." Tegan nodded slowly and gathered Breed by the arm. She pushed gently until Breed was walking once more, but at a more leisurely pace.
"Tell me."
"You tell me," Breed said softly. "I need to know who was there." There was no need to be more precise. Tegan sighed. "Chad, Aenea and Balin, Killen, Ula, Murdo, Aiken, Kai, a group of Maeve's friends you've not met yet, Auron's their leader. All of them were there. Maeve, of course."
"Maeve?"
She started young.
"I told you all this."
"I suppose you weren't listening." Breed shook her head. "Maeve turned up here when she was barely 16 with her father's sword and her baby brother in tow. Riordan was 9 and she was all there was between him and death, and all she had to earn a living with was the sword. Maeve's a fast learner. That was her first real battle, although it wasn't meant to be. I wouldn't have taken her if I'd known how it would turn out."
Breed glanced at Tegan, her face marred by a half frown.
"Did you really tell me that already?"
"Yes, more than once, I shouldn't wonder."
Tegan focused beyond Breed, her eye caught by something, and then refocused her gaze on Breed. "Turn slowly and look at the man in the doorway to the left. Keep turning so you don't obviously look at him." Breed did as she was told, noting a tall, bony man in dark green with a staff.
"Yes?" she asked quietly.
"Town guard," Tegan said softly. "Most likely to question a plainswoman without a collar. Most likely to see no problem with locking her up and finding someone to claim she had a collar once." "This is the sort of place Grain creates, is it, Tegan? Are you sure you want this contract?"
"Won't be out in the town much. At least you won't."
"I will, Tegan. I'll be out looking for plainswomen with collars or without."
"We'd better get you a good green cloak then."